Good morning. This talk has kind of been on my mind for quite a while now. As you can see by the program, I titled it Reflections. I imagine nobody younger than 30 has heard the expression, mind your own beeswax. But I heard it every once in a while growing up, and basically mind your own business, and I want to talk about it. It's kind of abrasive, but you don't really hear anybody saying it anymore, but basically mind your own business. How about your name is Mud? How many have heard that one? How many know where it came from? Not very many. I figured Tom would. But what was the origin of it? Dr. Samuel Mudd was where the saying originated, as he helped house and tend to John Wilkes Booth after he assassinated President Lincoln. Booth had broken his leg trying to escape Ford's Theater after shooting Lincoln, and it was also believed by some that he had conspired with Booth in the first place because they had met beforehand in the conspiracy against Lincoln, that he had this connection, and he was dragged through the mud. Whether all these accusations or beliefs are true about Dr. Mudd, this phrase, your name is Mudd, came through that and has lasted through many years. He was convicted for his crime of conspiracy. Why am I talking about this? There's an increasing amount of people that think others' opinion of them does not matter. There are people who are Christians that think it's nobody's business what they're doing in their free time. If you are of this persuasion that you believe this, you believe that something, you believe in an ideology that not even people of the world believe in. How many have heard the disclaimer that come on before a radio show? Opinions of the guests, hosts, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or TV station. They do it because somebody might say something on that particular program that rubs somebody along the way wrongly, and they don't want to lose viewers or sponsors because of that. So they want to distance themselves from anything that's about to be said. There have almost been too many examples of companies punishing their employees for their views and actions lately. It's almost too many to count. But the examples I'm going to go with are sports related, because that's kind of my mindset a lot of the times besides church. And the first one I'm going to give you is Donald Sterling, who was an owner of the NBA LA Clippers for many years. That was until he expressed his opinions of black people in a phone conversation and did not realize that phone conversation was being taped by the other party and released for public consumption. So the NBA suspended him, and he was forced to sell his ownership of the team as a result, because he expressed his opinion, and it was not a popular one, nor was it the right one. The NBA did not want people to think they agreed with him, neither did their sponsors. The same thing has happened to athletes lately, like Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson in the NFL. They both did something wrong, and they were punished by their teams and leagues as a result. Many people in the world have been fired or not be hired because of pictures of them that are posted over the internet by Facebook or other social media. Jobs look into seeing what kind of person they're about to hire over these sites, and they see something about you partying or other things like that. They don't want to hire you because they don't want the trouble. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 through 15, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil, and to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, abstain from all appearance of evil." That's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to appear evil to anybody, whether they're the church or whether they're not. Myself, personally, I try to ask myself all the time, there isn't a day goes by that I don't think, would God want me to do this? What's my intention on this before I do it? That's because I'm a Christian. And I have to have that mindset. I gave myself to God, and I need to act like it. 1 Peter 3, verse 17. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, than that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether good or bad." We've all got to stand up before God and give account for what we've done. There is no escaping that. If we've done good, we'll be rewarded and we'll get to stay with him. If we haven't, then we'll be punished. And there won't be an end to that punishment. Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, like every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Which would you rather be? Would you rather be justified or would you rather be condemned? I definitely would rather be justified. A good name. In Proverbs 22, the first verse, it tells us about a good name. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." I admire my Grandma Engel a lot, and I spent a lot of time with Grandma and Grandpa growing up, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm very thankful for that. Being just the short walk that I was, I often walked up the hill to go visit Grandma and Grandpa. One of the things I always remember telling me that I should always be on my best behavior. I was told how hard my grandparents and my parents worked to make sure that Engel was a good name and it was a good report. And also that what I did was a reflection not just of myself, but my parents and grandparents and people that raised me. how I acted was a reflection on them, and I strongly believe that. I didn't want to ruin what they worked hard to start. If someone tells me I'm in the wrong, that as a brother or sister in Christ, I need to seriously take note of that and listen and examine myself, not get offended by that. A good name can take a lifetime to build up and can be destroyed in an instant. In Proverbs 12, the first verse, it says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he who hateth reproof is stupid." A good man obtaineth favor in the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. If you don't want to be corrected and you refuse to listen, you're referred to as stupid. And it is stupid, because if you don't do something about it now, you have to suffer for it later. Nobody likes to get told that they're wrong. There isn't a single person here that would want somebody to come up to them after church and say, "You're wrong about something." Nobody wants that. But if your response is that you won't listen and you go on the defensive, including trying to find something that person has done in their past and taken care of, you are in the wrong. This is hating reproof. There is a difference, though, between Christians and the world when it comes to forgiveness. The world can hold grudges. There's nothing that says that they can't hold grudges because they don't have any rules. These players and the owner that I spoke up about earlier, they will be labeled by their transgressions for the rest of their life. They're never going to wipe that stigma away about themselves. And they might not ever be able to work again for a long time because of it, of what they did. It won't matter that they say that they're sorry, because people of the world do not have to forgive. That is the world. I know that the idea of them never working again might meet with some disagreement by some people, but I believe that it might be true. They might not get another job because sponsors are afraid that they might be tainted by linking themselves to that individual again. As a Christian, we have a duty. We have to be willing to forgive everyone, even when they offend us multiple times. We have to let them back, no matter how many times they mess up. That forgiveness only does the sinner good if they repent, though. But for ourselves, we need to be forgiving always. That person has to be willing to make a change. As a Christian, it should matter what our reputation is in the church. Hebrews 13 and 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." What are your shepherds of your congregation going to say about you? What are they going to have to say about me? What are they going to have to say about Larry or Norlee or Junior? Anybody. It matters to me what my elders say about me and what they think about me, because they're going to have to talk about me. The scriptures say they will. So we want to be in good standing. In Ecclesiastes 11th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Rejoice, O young men, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in thy days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will be thee into judgment, bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for thy childhood and youth are vanity. If we go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, we find our duties about keeping the church pure. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. You are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as an absent in body, but in present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice or wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I write unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must needs go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one don't even eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from yourselves the wicked person. God's going to judge the people that were in the world. But we need to take heed of each other. If we see some, we shouldn't be going out of our way to find stuff to point our finger at people, but we need to, if something's blatant, something needs to be done about it. We can't just let it go. In 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 16, it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We're supposed to be holy because we put on Christ in baptism. We're a reflection of Christ by being Christians. Therefore, we should want to be as pure as we can be. In Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." What does it mean to you to put on Christ? We are reflections of His name and His church to the world and to each other. We should worry about ourselves if somebody's pointing out something that we need to correct. It matters to God. It matters to Christ. Are you wearing the Christian label well? Or are you acting like you get to take it off the moment you walk out the back door? Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm just going to read the first 5 verses, but the whole chapter is really goes together very well. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What do we mind? Do we mind our own beeswax? Do we get after each other if it has to be done? 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 6. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you, that ye not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also to walk even as He walked." We are asked to walk the same walk that Christ walked. We are reflections of Christ. Have you been a reflection of Christ? Or have your waters been murkied by the world? Have you been tainted? Have you become more of a reflection of the world than you have of God? We have a duty to be pure through Christ. We can never be pure enough on our own. We have to be willing to accept the sacrifice that Christ gave to us to make us purified. And then we have to be a reflection of Him in the way we live our lives going out of this building. What's your reputation? Are you willing to have a good reputation with the world? Does that mean something to you? How do you do it? You work as hard as you can at being a Christian every day, every hour. You ask yourself, you check yourself, and make sure that you're right with God. Are you right with God today as this lesson comes to a close? What are you a reflection of? If you can't look yourself in the mirror because of the life you're leading, then you have an invitation extended to you to make that correction in your life and start walking down the right path and get rid of the world. Put it away from you and hold the brothers and sisters in the church closer to you so that you might get strengthened by that. If you've never accepted Christ's sacrifice of himself in baptism as a perfect sacrifice, and you realize that you need to come to that conclusion and make yourself a member of God's body, and you want to reflect Christianity in your life, you have an opportunity to do that also by being baptized for the remission of your sins as we stand and sing the invitation song.